Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 9, please. All right. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. In 2 weeks, I hope to preach a message on the marriage supper of the Lamb. I wanted to preach it this morning. I prepared for it yesterday, and it was all done. And it's just not the right time. So I'm kind of excited. I'm not talking about something that's coming up. It'll really, really, it really excites you. Look at Psalm 45. If you want to see what I'm going to be preaching on, look at Psalm 45 sometime this week, and it will bless your heart. Until then, I want to talk about something that predated some of my thoughts, and really, really I know that I need to preach this morning. And it's to answer a question. And did you know most of preaching is intended to answer a question? We're talking about a church that's ready to change. I thought about calling this Some Thoughts on Change, but I decided I'm going to answer why change. Luke chapter 9, if you will, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke 9, 23, and he said to them all, there's nobody left out. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and what's the next two words? Follow me. For whosoever will save his life is going to what? Shall lose it. Everything you do to try to protect yourself, everything you do to try to manipulate and manage your life is going to end up in loss. Whosoever is going to save his life will end up losing it. But whosoever will lose his life, not for humanitarian reasons, not for political reasons, not for the job or for the boss or for the wife or for the parents, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. What is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and yet lose himself or be cast away? Now, I want to answer the question of why change? Why would an Irishman, an Irish woman, why would a Nigerian man, why would a Texan, why would a, my wife's called a Hoosier, being from Indiana, why would anyone throw away their life? Why would they throw away? That's what people think you're doing, by the way. You're throwing away your life on that old stuff. Why would they throw away their life in order to, quote, find it and live another life? Most people don't want to change at all. Would you agree with that? I find very few people who want to change or even seeking to change. It's almost impossible to find somebody actually wanting to be different than the world they live in. You know, when I was a kid, everything was flared. The bell bottoms were flared, the ties were about the size of a bib. And, the only people who wore earrings in my day were guys that were on TV shows about people who lived 100 years ago, you know, sailors and stuff. And what's funny is, you know, when that stuff comes into, quote, fashion, all of a sudden everybody wants to be like that. Everybody wanted to have the haircuts like Princess Diana when she got her haircut. Remember that? It's very hard to find people who want to be different than the world or even different than they used to be. Maybe it's because nothing's ever worked before. Maybe they've struggled and they said, I can't change. Maybe it's because they really don't think it matters that they change. All they need is to be happy, right? And I find most people aren't. Let me ask it this way. Why would a caterpillar want to change? Why not just stay a big, fat, ugly insect? Well, hopefully, you, knowing a little bit of science, a little more than the insect, although I worry about some of you, knowing a little bit of science, you should be able to say that there's something better for that bug, amen, if they would just go through the process, right? You know what to become? This creature lives surrounded by its environment of food. That's all it lives with. It just nonstop eats and eats and eats. All it knows is food. That's modern Western civilization. It doesn't have any idea that with wings, the view he could enjoy, the freedom of flying, the beauty that is there, just in the change, he has no idea. Do you know most of the Bible is about change? Not leading us as we already are, but changing us. That's the purpose of the Bible. It's to change us. It cuts us. It crushes us sometimes. It breaks us. Most of our lives are spent changing, but usually for the worse. You watch children that are reared and trained to be well-mannerly, and then they end up, by the teenage years, vicious and angry teenagers. You teach your children to be hard workers, and by the time they get married, a little bit later, they're lazy bums. You train people to be kind and considerate, ladies and gentlemen, and they become selfish and self-centered jerks. That's the nature of change, isn't it, today? But God designed us to change in the right direction. Thank God He didn't leave us as we are. The only way to do that is by losing. Losing control over the process that God uses to change our lives. So, I want to ask, why change? And I'm going to answer that. Let's pray. Father, please bless the thoughts this morning on change. I've only got one shot this morning. This may be the last message anyone in this room hears. Trumpet could blow. Anything could happen. It may become illegal this week for us to ever meet again. We have no idea. So today, we have one chance to hear from you. May we hear with all ears. May our heart be hungry and ready to change. In Jesus' name, amen. Why change? Go to Ephesians, please. The first reason you should change is because we're messed up. Ephesians chapter 2. We are messed up. The word in the Bible, it's not a proper Bible word, it's a theological term, but it's a great word. It's called depraved. It means ruined. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Speaking to Christians and speaking of Jesus, and you hath he, Jesus, quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, living in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby, what's the next word? What we did by nature, what we did naturally, we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We're messed up. We are spiritually dead, is what the Bible. You who were dead in your trespasses and sins, you could pray, you could go to every single church, you could go to every single temple, you could go to every single holy place and still not find God and not talk to Him. You're spiritually dead. Not only are we dead in our sins to God, but we walk along a course. We are like all those old 1960s and 70s movies of zombies. Before we were saved, we were dead men walking. We were like stupefied. We walked along a course. Now this course is a well-worn. You ever heard of being in a rut? How many of you ever heard of in a rut? You know what that rut is? It's a path that has been so worn that it has gone down. So when you're walking in it, you don't get off of the course. You just keep walking the same way everybody else has always walked. And you find yourself, it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and it gets harder and harder and harder to ever come out. It's a rut. You just walk along where millions of other people go. You sitting there looking at me at 15, 16, 17 years old, you go, well, I'm different. I can pick up cigarettes and I can put them down. I can pick up a drink and I can put it down. You are stupid! Millions of people have gone down that rut, have gone down that course, and crashed and burned. You're no different. You're not going to pick it up and go, I'm better than my daddy. I know how to handle this. I'm never going to become like my grandfather. I'm never going to be like that bum down the street. You'll be worse. Amen? Because everyone of them thought they could handle it. You're going down the same course and rut that everybody else did. We're messed up. Led by the devil himself. You say, why is the world doing what it does? They're following their leader. You have your father, the devil, Jesus said. He's called the God of this world, the prince and the power of the air, and the spirit of disobedience. He's the spirit behind all rebellion. He described our conversation, what we would call our way of living. Isn't it true? Our walk talks louder than our talk. Well, how did our conversation speak? How did our life speak? Well, it was lived in the lust of the flesh. We lived in lust. Love is spelled L-U-S-T today. No concept of what real love is. Lived in the lust of the flesh. Animalistic desires. They fulfilled the desires of the flesh. We call it selfish. The desires of the mind. What do people do with their brains today? They invent new things to do for fun that are wicked. We were by nature the children of wrath, not the children of God. We sin naturally. It is in our nature to disobey and to be selfish and sinful. That's in our nature. Go to Mark. You can leave this. Go to Mark chapter 7. So what's the problem, Pastor? Is it because of my parents? I thought I read somewhere where Sigmund Freud said, my problem is my mother. Mark chapter 7 verse 21 says this. For from within. Mark chapter 7 verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness. That's a big word for lust. An evil eye. You ever had anybody look at you angry? Blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from your mother. Is that what it says? Come from your home life. No, come from your economy. No, come from within and defile the man. They come from your own heart. Depravity is in our very hearts. It's ruined inside there. What does Jeremiah say? The heart is desperately wicked. Above all things, it is desperately wicked. Go to Romans. Listen to Romans chapter 1, verse 28. You know what men don't like? Being corrected. I'm one of them. Well, look at the Bible, do it. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And he's speaking of the whole world. He says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Oh, I got over him. Oh, I outgrew Sunday school. Oh, really? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's a faking mind. That's a mind that can put on a good show to do those things which are not convenient. Being, what's the next word? Filled with all unrighteousness. Look at this. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. You ever heard of a malignant tumor? That means it's an aggressive tumor. If somebody's malicious, they're aggressive against you. They're attacking you. Maliciousness. full of envy, murder, debate, always justifying their actions, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Think of the games that kids play today. They don't play Cluedo, even though Cluedo is kind of dark, isn't it? You're trying to uncover a murder, you know. But most games on the Xbox are destructive. The majority of games are evil. Scientists have given us, for the last 50 years, atomic bombs. Remember DDT? Remember DDT? DDT was said to kill mosquitoes until humans started dropping. And they said, oops, science isn't always right. Given us nuclear disasters, chemical weapons, inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, marriage gone, friendships gone. Without natural affection. They can't even love what's normally lovable anymore. They have virtual love now. They have the ability to love their dog more than they love their wife or their kids. You know, they don't have natural affection anymore. Without natural affection, implacable. You know what an implacable, that's a good word. Implacable means unbendable. Not soft anymore. So what are you talking about? Just try to pull into a parking space when somebody else is trying to pull in. I mean, it used to be, go ahead. Now it's, get out of my way. I'm going to run you over. And unmerciful. Look at the next verse, verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. They enjoy watching other people do those same sins. Modern television. Do you know what you're like without God? That's what you're like. That's you and me. Angry, bitter, stubborn, hard-hearted, unkind, filthy words, wicked imaginations, unfaithful, undependable, and yet changeable like the weather. That's the person who says, I don't need to change. And we do. We do. No wonder most people hate the way they are. I'm amazed at how many people hate the way they look, the way they feel. People hate the way they constantly fail and fall. So it's no wonder that people can't stand to be alone with themselves. They have to go drinking. They have to do some drug. They have to get some buzz because they hate themselves. They'll sit in front of the television for hours trying to find something to give them a thrill. And it's no wonder why suicide is constantly in the back of the minds from children as young as 13 years old to people who are as old as 85 wishing they could just click out. No wonder they hate life. It's because we're messed up. We are messed up. If you don't love life, you don't know the author of life. So why change? Because we're messed up. Secondly, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There is a cost if you stay the same. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9. If you don't take this message serious this morning, if this doesn't move you, there is a price you'll have to pay. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Anybody in this room perfect? No. Now, Dennis may be nearly perfect. And I'm trying to keep up with him. But every one of us would admit we're unrighteous. Now, if you're born again, you had righteousness imputed to you. It's been put on your account because Jesus has paid for it. But in our lives, we're unrighteous. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Don't anybody lie to you. Neither fornicators nor idolaters, here's our list again, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. There's a price to pay for messing around with sin. That's why we read there in Hebrews chapter 11, Moses, he made a lot of mistakes, but one day he made a decision. He said, I'm going to choose the reproaches of Christ, greater value than the pleasure, greater riches than the pleasures of sin, which are only for a season. He says there's a higher price to pay living in the lap of luxury than there is going through some hard times with the people of God. The world wants everybody to be tolerant. Let's just get along. What they demand for is for everyone to ignore sin is what they demand. Well, it's just the way I am. I just explode. Get over it. Really? Well, you know, I can't help. It's in my genes. My grandfather drunk and my dad drunk, and I guess I'm a drunk. No, you're not. You're a sinner. You are a sinner. Everybody wants people to be tolerant of them. What they mean is they want to be tolerant of sin. According to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, there is a price to pay for being messed up. What is it? The wages of sin is death. It's not the wages of murder. It's not the wages of pedophilia. It's not the wages of rape. It's the wages of all sin. There's a price to pay for being messed up. In other words, you and I can never enter heaven the way we naturally are. If you try to get to heaven the way you are, the Bible says, flesh and blood shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You cannot get there. Now, if you want to live this way, if you want to live all messed up, go ahead. But you'll pay. You know why I got saved, Brother Dan? Because I didn't want to pay. I didn't want to go to hell. You know, it's a perfectly good reason to get born again. Amen. I like my skin. Amen. I want to live. But if you want to live without God, go right ahead. You're going to pay. And I don't want you to pay, and neither does Christ. Because when we talk about pay, we're talking about separated from God. And you are separated right now. You bow your head in prayer like we did there. It ought to be the most joyous and yet most serious time where you go, dear God, I am coming to your presence. I am remembering what you did for me. Thank you for dying for me. God, thank you for giving me another chance to get right with you. It ought to be a thrill. And some of you are going, duh. There's nothing there. Separated from God. Some sin, man. One day, if you're not born again, you'll be separated from God forever in hell. Some people say, death is separation. No, death is hell. For me, I don't die. He that believeth in me shall never die, Jesus said. You're going to go to sleep. That's all I am. You want to die? Go right ahead. You want to live the way you are? Go right ahead. You'll wake up in a burning devil's hell for eternity. You say, one of these days, God's going to open that furnace up. He's going to let everybody out. He sure is. You read one of the last chapters, but I bet you didn't see that he took everybody out of hell and put them in the lake of fire. I mean, I'll just wake you up. There's a cost for sin. There's a cost for sin. It's all under the wrath of God. I mean, God takes sin very seriously. Just like a doctor takes infection serious, takes germs seriously. He burns them out. They put those ultraviolet lamps in there, killing everything that's alive inside of those theaters there, so that when they bring that body in, they open up. There's no chance any infection getting in that body, at least as best as they can try. Amen? And there's no infection in heaven. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, no one in this room will do well to stay the same, if I could say it that way. It's not going to do you good to sit there and go, try and move me. It's in your benefit. Amen? So why change? Third reason, because God means for us to change. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. The Bible word is transformed. Be not conformed to this world. It's easy to be conformed to the world. The world puts pressure on us. The world puts fashion in front of us. How many of you saw this week? I don't know if I should ask this or not, but there was some stupid fashion show for men. I wish I hadn't seen it. It is thick. But you got to realize that's what's impressing upon this generation of young men. And they will conform to that pressure if there's not a greater pressure transforming them. Amen? God means for us to change. 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformed. It means to be converted. If you haven't learned, when I first came to Ireland, I told this story before, and I would go knocking on a door, and I'd have my Bible in my hand. I always carry my Bible out in the open. Because when you bring it out, you should see them faint. So I carry it with me. And when they open the door, and I begin to talk to them, they immediately say, you're trying to convert me? And my first response was, no. Wouldn't want to do that. That was wrong. Because what this world needs is conversion. Don't be afraid of Bible words. Yeah, they're wrong. They're messed up. They're lost. They're depraved. They need to be born again. Converted. Regenerated is another good word. It means brought back to life. Made alive. And it means no longer the same. John 10. Go to John chapter 10. In verse 10, the devil means to ruin you. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill. And then what's the next word? He never meant you one good day of your life. He never benefited you one day of your life. His whole design was to steal, rob everything from you, kill you, and destroy you. I like the last part of the verse. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly than they could ever imagine. You know, one day we're going to be completely changed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is a good set of scriptures for babies. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Starting in verse 51, I believe. Yes. Behold, I show you a mystery. This one's good for babies. You ought to, when we finally get our church, we're going to put this over the door. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, if you're a mom, you're going to get that. The men are going to go, I don't get it. But speaking to Christians, he says, hey, we're not all going to die, but we shall all be changed. You ought to put a big amen by that. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this stinking, filthy flesh must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible, talking about his body, shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up now in victory. You know, one day we will be completely changed. One day I will be changed. But right now, the goal is to be renewed. Right now, according to Romans chapter 12, it says, by the renewing of your mind. You need to renew your course and direction every day. You need to get up like a captain of a ship. When he takes a nap or he goes to sleep and he comes up, he says, what's our course? And they say, 270 degrees. Da-da-da-da. We've been going for the last 6 hours. He says, we're off by 5 degrees. Bring it back around. You know, you have to do that from time to time. You need to renew your course and direction. What way are you heading? I'm headed home. I'm headed for the will of God right now. I'm headed to stay on course. And every day you need to wake up and say, am I on course? Am I doing, not what I want to be doing 10 years from now, but am I doing what I should be doing today? Renew your course. Secondly, you need to renew your heart and your love. I wonder how easy it is for you to fall out of love. I wonder how easy it is for you to get upset at somebody and stay upset at somebody. I wonder how easy it is for your heart to be so deflated so it can't love anymore. You need to renew that. You need to renew that heart and that love. You know what the problem with the church at Ephesus, one of the greatest churches in the New Testament is the church at Ephesus. You know what the problem with that church was? They left their first love. It wasn't taken from them. It wasn't twisted. They just left it behind. You need to go back and say, I'm not losing this. I remember what it was like when I got saved. I was a raving nutcase. I was a fanatic. I jumped on my mom's bed when I came home at 11 o'clock at night. And I stood there. She pulled her book down. She was reading. She said, what is going on? I said, Mom, I got saved. She said, what is great? I said, and you need to get saved too. Amen. You need to renew that love. You know, I don't know how long it was, for that period of time in my life, there was nobody I hated. I would have hugged the devil. Because I was saved. He wasn't my enemy that was killing me anymore. Yes, he was my enemy, but to me, I was like, everybody ought to be happy. I thought at school, when I went to school and I took a big thing of tracts and I handed them out and I said, you want to come to church? Listen, you need to get saved. I thought everybody would go, yeah, sure. You know, it's not bad to have that kind of love. Amen. And renew your mind. What does this thing do? Like a clock, man. It winds up, winds up, winds up. And our goal is renew. I'm never going to be perfect this side of heaven, amen? So I've just got to constantly pick up the pieces, pile them all up, get them going again, at least for a day, and renew that thing so that I change. Where does change start? Bingo. Amen? By some decisions I make. What made Moses one of the greatest men of all time? Some choices. It wasn't his education. God stripped that away from him. It wasn't his speaking ability. 40 years out talking to sheep ruined him. You know what made Moses one of the greatest men of all time in the Bible? Some right choices. So why change? Because God made a way to change, amen? God made a way. Some of you believe you can't live up to perfection. Never be good enough. I try to read my Bible, I try to go to church, and it just does nothing for me. You know what? You can't change. It's not a work of the church to change you. We don't have a room back there like Batman's closet, you know? Where you go in, and then you come out with your underwear on the outside of your outfit. No. We read last week, go to Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13. We learned that we cannot change ourselves. Jeremiah chapter 13. And verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? By the way, the Ethiopians were black. So until Michael Jackson, nobody's able to change their skin. Amen. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or can the leopard change his spots? Well, if that's possible, then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. If your life is lived wickedly, you can't just one day switch off and go, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to lie. I'm never going to drink. You know what? You may put down something and you'll pick up something seven times worse. That's how it always is. God made a way for you to change. And He only does it from the inside out. Go to Psalm 51. Probably one of the most precious Old Testament scriptures is Psalm 51. Because we can all relate to it. Psalm 51 and verse 10 is the heart of Psalm 51. It is the heart cry of a broken sinner that wants to be changed. What had David become? He'd become a lion, scheming, adulterous, wicked, lustful, deceitful man. You know what he prays there in Psalm 51? Create in me, verse 10, a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Change me where it matters. Aren't you glad that it doesn't matter what you may have done, what you may have thought, what you may have said, God can forgive and can transform anyone. Some of you believe you can't change, but according to the Bible, He can. How does He do it? Come back here. By starting over. You know what repentance is? It's like what we did. It's the reset button where you're just willing to say, I'm going to start over. You know, if you ask me to build a house, now Sean's back there. Sean says, you know, I'm taking a holiday, Pastor. Would you build a house for me? First of all, stupid. Secondly, I go to build the thing and it's tilting over like the Leaning Tower of Pisa on steroids, you know. And the boards are barely holding together. You know what he'd have to do in order to come in there and fix it? Start over. Nothing wrong with starting over. Matter of fact, Jesus said it over and over, except you become as little children. Start over. When we admit that we're wrong, when we humble ourselves, when we become like little children, Jesus calls it the new birth. Except a man be born again, he cannot ever see the kingdom of God. Starting over. You know what saves marriages? You know what saves messed up minds? You know what saves lives that are so tossed out in sin? Starting over. I'm glad Jesus takes us as we are, but you know what He does? He says, let's start over. Let's start over. I don't think we get the value of that. I think your starting is the most important part of the Christian life. If you start right, you'll end right. Does that make sense? Amen? So a lot of people, they kind of want to add Jesus to their life. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We want to mix Him in. And it stinks. Secondly, God's way of changing us is not only just starting over, but just by following Jesus. This is not going to be super profound. I think this is just powerful. John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. In verse 43. John chapter 1 verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip, and saith unto him what he had been saying to all of his disciples. He said what? Follow me. Look at chapter 3 and verse 30. I'll show you how far this goes. Chapter 3 and verse 30, this is John the Baptist, and he says, he, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. What a command to live by. Jesus doesn't say, don't sin. You know what he said? Just do as I do. Just follow me. It is a solid choice that you make, like a marriage vow. God deliver us from this quick prayer where we say, okay, Jesus, save me if you want to. That doesn't save anybody. You know what salvation is? It's a surrender that says, God, I'm going to hell, and if you don't save me, nobody can. Please save me now or I'm lost. That's a good way to pray. When you make a decision to follow Jesus, it's where you learn of Him, where you watch Him, where you spend time with Him, where you seek to become like Him. And something marvelous happens when we do that. Luke chapter 4. Go back a few pages to Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. And when you found that, also find Matthew 4. Luke chapter 4. Well, we'll just use Luke 4:4 first. Don't go to Matthew. We'll just, because I was going to go to the same place. But Luke chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You want to live? Listen. Amen? Watch what happens when you get around listening to what Jesus says. Verse 18. Well, look at verse 16. Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. All he's going to do is just read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on them, on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, wait a minute. Is not this Joseph's son? The point is this. When you listen to him, it'll be amazing. There is something marvelous when you just spend time listening to him. You want to change? Follow him in his word. Do not look for a vision. Don't look for a sign in the heavens. Don't wait for Morse code to come through the piping of the house. Look in the pages of this book and find out how gracious and how loving and how transforming just his words are. That's why we're a Bible reading church. That's why we try to get everybody in their Bibles every day. Because it changes you. You want to change him? God made a way to change that book. Man does not live by bread alone. Pizza does not change you. It expands you. But that book, you want to live, you want to change, you want to be like Jesus? You live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Something marvelous happens here. When you react like he reacted to problems, when you follow in his footsteps, when you lean upon and trust the Holy Spirit that he leaned upon, every act and reaction that he ever did, he did by the power of the same Holy Spirit that you have. You want to change? Live like he did. I like this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let go of some things. The Bible calls them childish things. Now, no guy has childish things. The things that we hold on to, what do we call them? Man toys, you know. But God calls them childish things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great chapter on selfless love. Chapter 13 and verse 11, Paul says, when I was a child, 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Look at what he puts away. He puts away childish words, childish understandings, and childish thoughts so he could be a man. You know, there are a lot of people who carry a lot of baggage from their past. Well, I had a bully in school. Yeah, so did all of us, I think. Amen? Well, you don't know what I've been through. Well, you know, I had this problem in my life. I know. You know, when you let go of some old ways of thinking and feeling, I don't believe there's any Christian in this room. If you're born again, there is no bondage on you that you have not brought on yourself now. And if there is a, and really, if there is a sin that is your tripping up sin, that sin that keeps defeating you, it's because you love it. It's not because it has a grip on you, it's because you love it. And if you love it, you can put it away like you would your girlfriend if you got married. You'd delete her number from the phone, wouldn't you? You better. Or I'll be holding your funeral. Amen. Put away childish things. Because the Lord is your attention now. I'm not going to go, this is for another time, but most of our stuff, we've got a grip on and we will not let go. You got a grip on it because you're afraid. And I'll talk about that in a minute. Last thought, or two more thoughts, by the grace of God. You want to change? You'll change because He wants to change, not because you think you know how. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, one page over, and pick it up there in verse 9. Paul knows who he is. He says, I am the least of the apostles. I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. What are you? Well, I'm a self-made man. You're an idiot. Well, you know, I've done all this education. I've done this. I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I've got this credentials. I've got this education. You know what a Christian is? If you're any different than you were before you got saved, it's because of the grace of God in your life. He should have killed you and left you for dead. He should have, and He didn't. It's by the grace of God that He's working on me. Never forget, you are what you are by the grace of God. You know, His kindness and goodness towards you, even though you didn't deserve it. You know, if I could just encourage you, take a step back. I like to do it. Now, nobody understands it. I get into my office, and I sit down there. Let me find a place where everybody can see. And I'll sit down there, and I'll kind of close the door so nobody sees me because they might think I'm Pentecostal. But I will just actually raise my hands, and I'll just thank Him for His grace. And I will just sit there for a good 5 or 6 minutes and just laugh and rejoice and praise God that I'm not in hell. And that He just reached down to some miry pit and He loved me and I responded to it. And His grace is so good and I'll get a month of joy out of that. That'll change you. Because you've got nothing to brag about. And then lastly, by the Holy Spirit of God. You know, there's something I'm very delighted with, and that is that when I got the Holy Spirit, and when you got the Holy Spirit, He's sealed in there. It's kind of like, you know, we know the work needs to be done on the inside, amen? So God did not hire a contractor to come in, do some work, and go home at night. God moved in and then locked Himself in until the job is done. He sealed Himself inside my life to change me. What do I need to do? Yield. Yield. I should not ignore the work of the Holy Spirit. I should not resist it. I should be so careful not to quench it. I should just seek it. Why change? Because God made a way to change. The Holy Spirit already is at work. I got to be careful not to keep knocking His work down. We have no excuses. Most people will come out of here, Leo, afraid of change. They will have heard me, heard some of these scriptures, and they'll go out saying, mm-mm. But you know, there is no excuse.
worrying.
You got to stop worrying about being different. You got to stop trying to mix Jesus in with your life. Just realize this, He is your life. I think His proper title is the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop worrying about being different. Yes, you're going to look different carrying a Bible instead of a magazine. Amen. You know, the modern teenager today, they're trying to get your money. And so these Bible publishers have taken the Bible and now they've made them into magazines, thinking that kids are going to pick them up and read them because there's pictures in them. You're going to look different because you know the words on a page instead of a video. You're going to know where Samson went wrong instead of where some movie star went wrong. You're going to be different. Don't be afraid of being different. You might actually be a preacher someday. Hallelujah. You may be married to a missionary or a pastor and be thought of by everyone around as different. We went to a cave. We were looking for Batman. He wasn't there. We went to a cave. It looked pretty cool, though. It's called the Dunmore Cave. We went in there, and this English guy was in there. And he let us just go around. We didn't have to have a tour of that thing. Charged us, though. But anyway, went up there, gave him a gospel track. He said, "I knew you were different." I mean, I went, yes. Might as well just be different, amen. I knew you were different. You know, stop fighting the only thing that will make you better. People turn to drugs, they turn to mind-altering medicines, they turn to self-help books. That's the only thing, and He's the only thing that will actually make you a better husband. Now, it may take some while. Can we nod our head? It may take a while to make you a better wife. Make you a better man. You know, teenagers growing up, I fear for them because they have no idea what innocence is anymore. They have no idea how to be a godly young lady. My wife and I are talking about what it means to be modest. What it means for a young lady to look like a young lady, not like a whore or a harlot that just walks the streets today. And they all are. I mean, these teenagers here have already been messed around with enough by the time they're 18 years old. No wonder they hate men. Amen, amen, and amen. The only thing that will make you a better person is Jesus Christ through that book. Messing around, fooling around on a Friday night, Saturday night is not going to make you a better person. It will ruin you, destroy you. It will defile everything that's good about what God put in your life. You need to just look at it and go, "Lord, I want that. No excuse. Nothing's going to stop me. I want to be different." You want to be a better Christian? That book. So why should an Irish man or an Irish woman, a Nigerian, why should anybody want to throw away their life for another life? You know why? Because something better is coming. And it's not just in heaven. I can enjoy it now in this life. Most of the Bible, as I said, has been about change. It is about change for good. Why change? Because we are messed up. You know, I wouldn't spend 30 seconds in a church that tried to make me feel better about myself. You know why? Because it's a lie. I'd like to go someplace that tells me, this is where you're wrong, this is how you get right. We're messed up. Why change? Because there's severe cost at staying the same. Ship is sinking. Just go ahead and stay there in your luxurious seat, sipping your lemonade, and go down with the ship. We'll find a way of escape. God means for us to be changed. The Bible word is transformed. God means for us to be changed. Good. God made the only way to change. What's the only way? You've got to start over. You know what today is? This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day where it says, according to the Bible, that His mercies are new every morning. He's starting over with me. I might as well start over too. You ready to start over? Are you actively following Jesus? Or is it just a Sunday morning encounter? You still hold on to childish things? Have you accepted the grace of God? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Have you accepted that gift? Grace changes people. Are you walking in the Holy Spirit of God? Everybody's walking in some spirit. You better start asking yourself, what spirit am I walking in? You and I have no excuses but to change. Don't wait any longer. You need to either get born again. This is your choice. You need to either get born again this morning, or you need to decide to seek whatever change God wants made. Because like we talked about last week, it may involve a lot of stripping down. It may be a lot of heartache. It may be a whole different direction you want to go. Why not just say, Lord, I'll go. I'll go through whatever you have for me because I know I'm not what I ought to be. But I want to be. I cannot tell you what you're going to be. You know what it says in 1 John? It says, we don't know what we're going to be. But we know when we see Him, we'll be like Him. Let's have that desire. Let's all stand and let's bow in prayer.